Allison and I had that song sung at our wedding. What is your desire? What is it that satisfies? Waking or sleeping, His presence, our light. What is it that we need? Is it enough that He is with us? Is it enough that He teaches us? Is His wisdom all that we need? Oh, man. Galatians chapter 2. Familiar principle, knowing that a man is not justified by works of the law. Here is the truth. And this is a familiar truth to us. The truth that we are not saved by what we do. That we are saved by grace, a free gift, through faith. Simply that we believe Him. That's where justification comes from. That I am not saved because I am able to accomplish enough good that God will look with favor on me. I cannot do that. We are not able to do that. Verse 16 makes it very clear. A man is not justified by works of the law, but through faith in Christ Jesus. Even we, Paul says, he is a Jew. He was a Jew of the Jews. Even we have believed in Christ Jesus so that we may be justified by faith in Christ, not by works of the law, since by the works of the law, no flesh will be justified. Truth is, not by works which we have done, but by the righteousness of Christ that He gives to us. We saw chapter 1, a substitution has been made, that Jesus came to take my sin and to rescue us from this present evil age. I want to start, before we go any further, before we dive into verse 17, I want to give you an illustration. As we walk through this, I want to give you something to kind of hang some thoughts on. And I hope, now listen, no illustration is perfect. Every illustration breaks down at some point. You can go home and you're going to think about my illustration, and it's not perfect. There are flaws in every single illustration. But let me encourage you to think for just a second that you are back in school. Let's say we're back in college. Some of y'all haven't hit college yet. Some of us, college is a long time ago. Some of us would say, man, I don't ever want to do college. But let's just say that you're in class, it's the first day of class, and the professor comes into class, everybody is there, and the professor hands out the syllabus. And you, as they call it, syllabus shock, right? I cannot believe in the next 13 weeks he expects me to do all of this work. But he does. And you're wondering, you look at that syllabus of what's going to be required in order to pass the class, and your thought is, man, I just don't know if I'm going to be able to do that. But you say, it's okay, I'm going to give it my best try. And so you study hard, and you work hard, and you stay up late at night, and you do, and I mean, you do everything that you can. The next week, you've been in class a week, and he gives a quiz. And you get a 52 on that quiz. That's failing grade. You got better than half of the questions right? 52, that's better than half. Still fails, not good enough. The second week of class, there's a test. You get a quiz first. You didn't do real well on the quiz. Now there's a test, and you know what? You get a 53 on the test. Fail. It's not good enough. More than half right, but it's not good enough. Third week of class, there's a quiz. And you get a 38 on that quiz. I'm working. I'm doing everything that I can. I'm working. I'm trying my hardest. And I can't pass. Can't pass it. Fourth week comes in and you expect, okay, it's a quiz, a test, a quiz. Fourth week comes in and the professor walks in and he doesn't pass out a test like you expect him to. And he says, listen, here's what's happening. He says, every single one of you have failed both quizzes and the test. All of you have failed and fallen short. And he says, I don't think any of you are up for this class. I don't think any of you have the ability to pass this class. And so here's what I'm going to do. I have a guy, and he's in one of my other sections of the class. And he has a perfect 100A. He has not missed one question on either quiz or the test. Spoken with him. And what he is willing to do is he is willing to trade his grade for yours. I know. You wonder, why would he do that? I'm not sure. But for whatever reason, he is willing to give you his A, and he will take your 47, which is your average at this point in the class. He is willing to do that. Now, you're going to have to trust me, because you will not see that grade reflected until the end of the class on the final grading. I'm telling you, I am making you my promise that if you will believe what I am saying to you, then on your final grade, you will see his grade and not yours. He will take your fail and he will give you his perfection. But you're going to have to trust me. You won't see it till the end. Trust me. You will not pass the class based on your own effort because you are unable. You will not receive a good grade good enough. You will try as hard as you can, but you will never be good enough. Some of you might get 52s, and then you look at the folks across the aisle and they got 17s, and you will be tempted to think, don't, because you're not good enough. It doesn't matter what grade you have, you're not good enough. You have to trust. If you are going to pass the class, you're going to have to trust that in the end, what you will see is this man's grade and not yours. Now there's a problem. Wait a minute. All right, that sounds like a good deal. By the way, that is exactly the deal that God offers us in verse 16. That you will not be justified by works of the law because you can't. But we will be saved by faith in what Christ has done. There's a problem though. Wait a minute. Verse 17. But while seeking to be justified in Christ, we ourselves have also been found sinners. Is Christ then a minister of sin? Here's the problem. This is not just some guy in another class. This is God's own Son, Jesus, and He is perfect. So here's the problem. Okay, I hear what you're saying, and I trust that in the end, I'm going to get His grade and not mine because I'll fail. But if I put Jesus' name on my paper and I turn it in and I get a 52... doesn't that make Jesus a failure too? Here's the thing. If I claim that Jesus is my Savior, if I stamp Jesus on my paper, on the paper of my life, and I am claiming Christ, but there is still sin in my life and I am not doing things that I should do, doesn't that make Christ a failure? That's a legitimate concern. Think about this for just a second. I mean, isn't there something that we should have to do? Because if I claim Jesus, I don't want to make Jesus a failure. There's got to be something that I have to do. And there's got to be something that guy's not doing. Because I'm doing this and I'm claiming Christ, that guy, he's not doing it. Right? Verse 17. If I claim Christ, But I still sin. Doesn't that make Christ a sinner? Doesn't that make Christ a failure? You know what the answer is? No! The answer is, may it never be. No way. Doesn't work like that. Why? Here's what's happening. Verse 18, 4. If I rebuild what I have once destroyed. Now stop right there, because Paul describes an action that has taken place in the past that we need to understand what happened there. He talks about destroying something and rebuilding something. Do you know what he's talking about? He's talking about the law. Let's go back to our illustration here. He's talking about the syllabus. What do you do if the professor comes in and he says to you, you failed, but I tell you what, there's a guy over here, he's going to give you his grade, and he has a 100 perfect A, he's going to take your grade. What do you do with the syllabus at that point? You know what you do with the syllabus at that point? If you've been told, I'm going to give you an A. You know what you do with the syllabus? You put it on the corner of your desk and you forget about it. You know what you do with the law? When Jesus says, I take your sin and I rescued you from this present evil age. You know what you do with the syllabus? Put it on the corner of your desk and forget about it. You know why? Because if you bring that syllabus back out, if you bring the law back out, you know what will happen? You'll just prove that you fail. You'll just prove again that you fail. If I get the syllabus back out and I say, okay, wait a minute, I know you're going to give me an A, but I'm going to try as hard as I can anyway. All you're going to do is prove that you're a failure. You can't do it. Verse 18, for if I rebuild what I once destroyed, I prove myself to be a transgressor. What does the syllabus do? What good does the law do? All it's good for is to prove that we're sinners, to prove that we're failures. That's all it's good for, to prove that we're failures. Now, let's stop right there. Because I want to take just a minute to let that sink in. If I rebuild what I have once destroyed, speaking of the law, if I get that back out and I again begin to rate myself and to rate others in terms of what I can accomplish or what I can't accomplish, if that is my tool, if the law is my tool to rate, then all I will find is proof that I'm a sinner. All I will find is proof that I am a failure. I am not good enough. Every single one of us in here, this text right here, verse 18, it is the great leveler, right up there with Romans 3:23. It is the great leveler. It doesn't matter who you are. It doesn't matter what you have done. It doesn't matter what you have stayed away from. It doesn't matter. It does not matter. You and I are failures. We are not good enough. And if you pull the law back out and you want to start checking off, all you're going to do is prove you're a failure. Verse 8. Verse 19. For through the law, I died to the law. Stop right there. Let's consider that for just a second. For through the law. What does it mean to go through the law? You go through the law, and what do you come out with? You come out with a big F stamped on my forehead. Failure. Through the law, I'm a failure. And because of that, Paul says, What has happened to him is that he died to the law. Now, essentially, he does not say that the law is gone. The law is still true. If you were in Sunday school this morning, we studied Exodus. You're looking at the Ten Commandments. You know what? Not one single person in here has kept the Ten Commandments. Not one. Every one of us stamped F, failure. Paul says, through the law, what has happened to me, past tense, what has happened is I died to it. Not that the law died, but that I died to it. Now, we understand what Paul is meaning, we use it in a little different term, but we say the phrase, I died to that. I had the idea this summer, this is not for real, this is just illustration, I'm making this up, and my wife will laugh at me for saying this. Let's just say, I had the idea this summer what we needed was a swimming pool. I used this illustration on Wednesday night. Man, and I had the thought, you know what we need? We need a swimming pool. That is the last thing that we need, by the way. But let's just say, for practical purposes, illustration purposes, I thought to myself, what we need is a swimming pool. If that thought ever crossed my mind, I would have to die to it. You know why? Because we're not going to get a swimming pool. And so I would have to die to it. That thought can no longer rule over me at all. That thought cannot have any authority over me. I'm going to have to die to that thought. It's got to be gone. I cannot let that thought have any control over me at all, because whether I want it or not, I'm not getting a swimming pool. Paul says, the law, he says, through the law, I died to the law. The law stamped a big old F on Paul's forehead and on our forehead, and so what has to happen is we have to die to it. The law, that standard of behavior that God says, this is my righteousness. If you want to be acceptable to me, here is the line that you have to get over. And Paul says, I have to die to that. Professor comes in, hands out the syllabus. 3-4 weeks later, he says, you've all failed. There's a guy. He'll give you his 100, and he will take your A. Can I tell you what happens? Can I tell you where we get hung up? Where we get hung up is when we would acknowledge that. We would say, man, I am trusting Jesus as my Savior. That I know I'm not saved by my works. I'm saved because Jesus paid it all. We would say that. But then you know what we do? We want to take my paper. We want to take my work, and we want to put Jesus' name on it. And you know what? We fail every time. We want to take my life and we want to take my effort. Here's what I've done. I want to talk about what I have stayed away from. I haven't done this, but I have done this. Oh, yes, I'm claiming Jesus. And it's my work and it's my effort, and we stamp Jesus' name on it. And see, this is good. I claim Jesus, but look, I got all these problems right. I claim Jesus, but look what I've stayed away from. See, you can claim Jesus, but you know what you need to do? You need to do what I've done. And we want to take our work, and we want to keep our work, and we want to put Jesus' name on it. But you know what? Here's what happens. In verse 19, through the law, I died to the law so that I might live to God. So that I might live to God, not to me. Here's what has to happen. This is not Jesus' name on my paper. This is my name on Jesus' paper. This is not my work stamped Jesus. No, this is Jesus' work stamped Chad Brady. Chad Brady has no claim to anything good. Only Jesus. Now, let that sink in for just a second. The Holy Spirit is giving us the mechanics of the gospel. He's giving us the mechanics, how this thing works. This is not Jesus stamped on my work. It's my name stamped on Jesus' work. I died to the law. This standard has no authority over me. Just what Jesus did. If I tried to meet this standard, claiming Jesus, you know what would happen? F. But watch this. The Holy Spirit, I'm so thankful for this passage. Because you know what? The Holy Spirit, He could have stopped at verse 19. And He would have given us all the truth that we needed. Here is the mechanics. Here's how it works. Here's what you need to know. Verse 16, knowing this. You need to know this. But He didn't stop at verse 19. He goes to verse 20. Now stop before you, don't read ahead. Verse 20 is no longer mechanics. You know what verse 20 is? Verse 20 is identity. Verse 20 is identity. It's who I am. Now watch this. Paul says, I have been crucified with Christ. Chad Brady. Chad Brady's a pretty good guy. Not really, but I look like it. If you were to look through Chad Brady's life, Chad Brady has been in very little trouble his whole life. And I even at one point in my life, I would even have said Chad Brady was smart enough to stay out of trouble. I have said that's come out of my mouth. I've been in church since about the third week of my life, every Sunday. My dad was a deacon. I never rebelled. I never did. When I was in high school, everything was available to me that high school students get caught up in. I was smart enough to stay away from it. But you know what? It's not good enough. It's not good enough. And you know what? Here it is. That Chad Brady who thought he was so smart. That Chad Brady who thought he was so good. That Chad Brady had to die with Christ. That Chad Brady, who I could claim was a good guy, that Chad Brady had to be murdered on a gruesome cross because he deserved it. That Chad Brady had to die. And you know what? Praise God for it. Paul says, I have been crucified with Christ. Now, here's the truth. If that is you, and you in your mind, I'm a pretty good guy. I've been smart enough to stay away. Here's what you need to know. That you insert your name that was smart enough to stay away from all that stuff, that person, you have to die. Have to die. You cannot claim that anymore. And we need to realize that if that's you and in your mind you are a pretty good person and you've done some pretty good things and you've stayed out of trouble, in your mind you need to recognize that you've got to die. Now, here's the flip side of that. Let me show you a glimpse. And I want to encourage the rest of you, because you know what? There are some people in here, and maybe it is, you look back on your life, maybe even just 3 or 4 years ago, and you cringe at the thought of who you were. And you cringe at the things that you have done. And you look back on your life, and you can't even bear the thought that you have done those things. You know what the good news is? It's the greatest news in the world. That person, you put your name right there, died with Christ. It's gone. Praise God. Praise God. That's not who you are anymore. It's gone. You're no longer that person. Why? He says, I have been crucified with Christ, and it's no longer I who live. This is not Chad Brady. You guys don't know the natural Chad Brady. If you did, you would not like him very much, even though in his mind, he's a pretty good guy. That Chad Brady is gone. Praise God. And you know what? Who you are, and maybe it is in your mind that you look back and you just cringe. It's okay, because you're gone. That identity is gone. Crucified with Christ. And it's now no longer you who live, but watch, but Christ lives in me. Man, praise God. Praise God, it's not me, but it's Christ. That it is Jesus who is now my identity. That my identity, that who I am, has absolutely nothing to do with what I have done. It has absolutely nothing to do with whether I have been able to accomplish good things, and it has absolutely nothing to do with whether I have not been able to accomplish one good thing. Maybe it is that in your mind you have a whole list of good things that you have done. Maybe it is in your mind you have a whole list of failures that you have been unable to escape. And let me tell you, the great news is that it's not you anymore. It's Jesus. It's just Jesus. And every single one of us in here, our identity has got to be not based on what we have or haven't done, but our identity is based on the truth that Jesus took my sin, rescued me from this present evil age. That's it. That's all we got. Praise God, that's all we got. And you know what happens? Let's go back to our illustration for just a second here. You know what happens in school? Let me tell you what happens in school. You guys know this, but I know this too, because I've experienced this, like we all have. But you know what happens in school? What happens in school is that everybody is rated and partitioned and divided, and groups form, and friendships and relationships and relationship circles are formed based on what you are able to accomplish. Maybe that is grades. There are some kids that make good grades, and then there are some kids that don't. There are some kids who have athletic ability, and then there are some kids that don't. There are some kids that have certain body types, and then there are some kids that have other body types. There are some kids who have a variety of skills, and then there are some kids who don't seem to have any skill at all. And you know what? Your whole life will be naturally, you will be identified by what you are able to accomplish or what you are not able to accomplish. And what the Holy Spirit is teaching us here is that none of that matters. None of it matters. Because when you come to the point, you are sitting in class, and the professor looks at you and he says, "This man will take your grade and give you his." Then you walk through the halls and you say, "You know what? I can't do anything. It's just me. But it's not me who lives. It's Jesus." So that our identity cannot be based on what is in my past, whether good or bad. My identity cannot be based on any set of skills that I have, whether there or lacking. My identity cannot be based on any of that. That my identity is only Jesus died for my sorry soul. Praise God. Praise God that I don't have to be identified with who Chad Brady is. I don't have to be identified by that anymore. Praise God that I've been crucified with Christ, and it's no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me. Now watch this. Do we have to keep on living? Yes, we have to keep on living. But even that has nothing to do with my ability or my effort, because look what characterizes this life that I keep on living. He says, and the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself up for me. So every day, my life is not characterized by what I am able to accomplish or what I'm not able to accomplish. Every day, my life is characterized, my identity is defined simply by the fact, man, I know that final grade's coming. And on that final grade, I'm going to have Christ stamped right there. And I'm trusting that what He has done, it is enough. And the things that I do now, I don't even do them because I think they're smart. I do them because Jesus said to do them. It's not me. I've been crucified with Christ. Praise God, He's gone. And now, it's not I who live, but Christ who lives in me. What room, by the way, the Apostle Paul, think about this for just a second. A man who writes that, what room does a man have like that for self-righteousness? None. None, y'all. They had one thing. If you say, I've been crucified, it is not Chad Brady, then what good can you claim? What can you claim to boast you up? Nothing. Not one thing. Verse 21, I do not nullify the grace of God. Of course not. For if righteousness comes through the law, Christ died needlessly. If I thought for a second that Chad Brady was smart enough to stay away from the bad stuff, what do I need Jesus for? If I thought for a second that that's what it took, why did Jesus have to die? No, grace. I'm trusting that He's going to take my grade and He's going to give me His. I've been crucified, gone. And it's not I, praise God, but it's Christ who lives in me. Praise the Lord. Now, we're going to close in just a second. Let me offer you one word, because I know the logical mind, you're thinking, well, shouldn't we want to do good, though? Shouldn't we want to do the right thing? Oh, yeah, that's coming. You hold on to that. We haven't gotten there yet. We got to get some stuff under our belt. We got to understand the truth that God gives us here in chapter 2, so that then understanding what He has given us here, that it is not us, but it is Christ. Understanding that, now the Holy Spirit can move on. And we got four more chapters in Galatians where He opens up the rest of His plan. Isn't that great? Isn't that great? My identity is not Chad Brady. Thank the Lord, it's Jesus. Father, God, I praise You for Your word. God, how would we understand these things? How would we know these things if it were not written down for us? God, I pray, oh Father, that you would free us from being identified, from identifying ourselves by the sin that You know has failed us, made us failures. God, I pray that we would seek to be identified by nothing but Your Son, Jesus. Thank You that You sent Him. Thank You for Your grace. In Jesus' name, amen. In just a second, we're going to stand and we're going to sing, and maybe it is that you are here. If you are here And you are still living under the weight of the sin that you know is a part of your life. And you have spent the last how many years attempting to overcome that? And every time you have failed. Or maybe it is that in your mind you haven't failed, and you've just kind of imagined yourself to be smart enough to stay away from the bad stuff. Listen, what you need is to trust Jesus. What you need is to simply believe that His promise is true. That you are not justified by the works that you have done, but you are justified, you are saved, you're forgiven, simply by the truth that Jesus took our sins and rescued us from this present evil age. And if you have never come to the point in your life where you have simply believed that, you've simply trusted Him. And I beg you to do that today. I'll be standing down here in the front. I'd love to share more about what that means. But don't leave today without getting that right. Brothers and sisters, listen. Maybe it is that your identity, who you are, needs to change. Maybe it needs some humility, but maybe it needs to be lifted up by Christ. Let the Holy Spirit do His work. Let go of those things that you are holding on to, whether they are bad or whether they are maybe even good. Let them go. And say with the Apostle Paul, I've been crucified. It's no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me. That's all I need. Let's stand and sing.